All right, Tim. Hello.
Hello.
Is the sound good, guys? Yeah, thank you. So, I'm Claudio Rabin. I'm the director of Portal do Bitcoin, which is the most important crypto news outlet in Brazil. I'm very excited to be here, Tim, and also a little bit nervous, I need to admit. So, welcome, Tim. It's a pleasure to talk with you, and it's a really beautiful tie you are wearing.
Yes, this tie is very special to me. I don't know if you can all see it there, but I think it's bold enough. On one side, you can see it says Bitcoin. On the other side, it says freedom and trust. And this is really important to me because freedom and trust are absolutely critical for the success of any industry, any economy, any government, any country. So building freedom and trust, building that freedom and allowing people, the best leaders are the ones who trust people and set them free. The weak leaders are the ones who try to control everybody and tell them what the rules are. I think we've got an opportunity here in Brazil to start building one brick at a time, freedom and trust. So do that, and Brazil will be an entrepreneurial hotbed. I know the entrepreneurs in Brazil have to be very strong to overcome all the regulations and all the rules, but if all those regulations and rules start to drift away, the entrepreneurs will be even stronger here in Brazil. So you asked about the tie, man.
Okay, sorry. Just let me introduce you a little bit to set everybody in the same page here. So Tim Draper is maybe the most famous venture capitalist in the Bitcoin world. He has funded companies that no one knows, like Coinbase, Skype, and SpaceX, and many others. But much more importantly, he made a famous bet on Bitcoin in 2014, when he famously bought more than 30,000 Bitcoins from the US government for an undisclosed price that today seems very, very cheap. However, that was long ago. We are in another bear market after the FTX downfall. Please, Tim, tell us, is crypto a good bet? And why?
So I think Bitcoin is a good bet. I think the Bitcoin drumbeat just keeps coming. Boom, boom, boom. The Bitcoin drumbeat just keeps coming. And all these other people, people are trying to block it. A lot of people are trying to make it not happen. But now there are 100 million people now with Bitcoin wallets. And actually, I think there are more Bitcoin holders in Brazil than there are stockholders. So this is a major breakthrough. Anyway, at least here in Brazil and in many places around the world, people believe in this new currency that's frictionless and open and transparent and can be used anywhere, keeps perfect records. It's decentralized. People ask me, well, what is decentralized? Centralized is Vladimir Putin. Centralized is President Xi. They make decisions that affect hundreds of millions of people, and they're making bad decisions. FTX was centralized. It was all surrounding one person. So what we love about Bitcoin is that it's decentralized. No one person or entity can change it. It's got 20, there are only 21 million of them, so get yours now. And yes, I think it's going to be valuable. We went through a bull run, and then we went through a bear run, and then FTX happened, and somehow the decentralized currency of Bitcoin got swept up with a disaster of a centralized currency, FTX. But now, here's what's happened. Silicon Valley Bank crashed. First Republic Bank crashed. Signature Bank crashed. Credit Suisse Bank crashed. All these banks are crashing. Why? Because of central control of currency. You have a central bank, and it decides it wants to print a whole bunch of dollars or riyals or whatever. You then have a real problem, because then you get inflation. Then they have to up their interest rates so that it tamps down the economy. And when that happens, you often lose banks. Well, not so with Bitcoin. So I, after Silicon Valley Bank went under, I was able to get the money out for my investors, but all my companies did not get their money out. And so I got all these calls from entrepreneurs looking for emergency funding. Well, the government came in and covered the Silicon Valley Bank losses. But all these companies were really panicked over that weekend. And so we now tell all our startups, all the companies in our portfolio, think about your treasury. Where are you going to keep your money? And so I came to the conclusion that, yes, it should be in multiple banks. It should be at least two banks. But you need at least two payrolls worth of Bitcoin so that you can cover payroll, so you don't have emergency situations when banks go out of business. And more banks are going to go out of business, and fewer and fewer banks are going to be out there for you, and they're going to be more government controlled. So unless governments make a 180-degree turn and they start on-ramping and off-ramping Bitcoin onto their into their banking system, we're going to absolutely need to run our own treasuries. And I mean, I would put a lot more Bitcoin, but at least two payrolls worth of Bitcoin on your balance sheet. Because if a bank goes out of business and the government does not cover it, that is big trouble. So, and the U.S. government cannot cover all the banks. If J.P. Morgan goes out of business, U.S. government doesn't have the credit to cover that bank.
So that's why in the last Web Summit in Lisbon, you said that Bitcoin would reach
$250,000.
But you said that it would be in the middle of this year. Do you want to postpone your prediction?
I don't know. Let's see. The date is May something, 3rd. I think we're May 3rd. So I have about 54 days, something like that, before we hit 250,000 and I'd be right again. I think that's possible. We have another bank failure, one more bank failure, and I think people will be going, oh my God, I've got to own Bitcoin. It makes no sense. I might lose my all my money. It may just disappear. I better own some Bitcoin. So it's very possible we'll see another bank failure between now and then, and you'll see $250,000 Bitcoin. However, I think I'm going to have to push it out about 6 months or a year because it's not really, I don't believe it's going to hit 250,000 until I can buy my food, my clothing, and my shelter all in Bitcoin. When that's possible, then I think it'll go to 250,000 and well beyond. So I think that we need, because if you could buy your food, clothing, and shelter all in Bitcoin, why would you even hold on to a currency that is controlled by a central bank where they print whatever they want? And I mean, in the US, the US government printed a third of all the dollars in the last 4 years. A third. So all of our dollars that we had way before, they're basically worth about 25% less. So why would I hold on to a currency like that when I can actually operate in a currency that I know will over time appreciate might be a little up and down, but it'll appreciate. And eventually, people will run for the hills whenever they hear the word fiat currency.
So you told me back there, ask me anything. So what do you believe that are the market forces that goes against your beliefs?
So I think Bitcoin is a drumbeat. I think it just keeps coming. The drums are coming. It's coming. Here comes Bitcoin. Here comes Bitcoin. Here comes Bitcoin. And you're seeing people that have authority saying, whoa, I'm not sure I want Bitcoin. If you're the head of the central bank and you really love your job, you're kind of thinking, well, I'm not so sure I want this new currency. I hear it's better for the people, but for me, maybe not. So many government officials, the weak government officials, are coming out against Bitcoin. And Bitcoin keeps perfect records, and it can tax you perfectly. So you've got to ask these government officials, when they say, I'm against Bitcoin, what are you hiding? What are you hiding where you don't want perfect records and perfect taxes? Why are you standing in the way of something that's better for your people and keeps perfect records for your people and for you? I would argue that they may have something that they're trying to hide that they don't want you to know about, because with the blockchain, Bitcoin keeps perfect records. Every government should be getting behind it, and only very few of them have had the guts to do it. El Salvador, of course, has had the guts to do it, and if Bitcoin hits 60,000, only 60,000, El Salvador will be an enormous success. In fact, I think with 60,000, 62,000, they're going to be able to pay back the IMF. It's going to be over. The IMF will no longer be the puppeteer of El Salvador. Very exciting. Argentina could take a little lesson there.
Well, Argentinians are using a lot of stable coins to have access to dollars. But in a way, it seems that the U.S. government, the SEC, is making a lot of pressure against crypto. Do you think that the market could change, could go to Asia?
I think the politics have to change. I think it's time for a different party. This party has been in office. They've tried to control everybody. They're weak. It's a very weak group, and they're trying to regulate by enforcement. They're trying to enforce things without even having clear rules. This government has been very weak. I think it's time in the U.S. to do a wholesale change to another party, a new way of thinking. We need freedom and trust. We need people in government who are personally strong enough that can say, I trust you people, I will set you free. And I think that kind of a leader can really change. It can be the difference between an economy that grows at 1% and one that grows at 10%. So I'm actually very excited about some sort of wholesale change in government in the U.S. because all these regulators, they're weak. They've become very weak. They've been trying to control people. And I think it came with a pandemic. Somehow the pandemic made the government officials feel like they should tell us all what to do, and they've kept it up. And I think a great, strong leader is one who trusts people, sets them free, very light touch, but has a strong rule of law. So that's what we're looking for. I think you're looking for the same thing here in Brazil.
So let me ask you something about your past, about a feeling of the past. How is the feeling to buy 30,000 bitcoins on $300? How does it feel to buy Bitcoin so cheap?
Oh, well, I'm a venture investor, and I take risks. And when the U.S. Marshals Office came out and said, first of all, I owned 40,000 Bitcoin before that, but I lost it all to Mt. Gox. So I had a contract for 40,000. I lost it all. And I knew something was important because when I lost that money to Mt. Gox, Bitcoin only dropped about 10% on the news that the biggest exchange of Bitcoin stole a bunch of money. Made no sense. And so I did a deep dive and I really dug in and I said, what are people using this for? How is it that it's not just completely gone on this news? Well, it turns out that the unbanked are very interested in Bitcoin because they can be a part of the world economy now. And people can remit money, send it overseas very easily, frictionless, and it doesn't cost them a huge commission. And companies can send Bitcoin overseas to employees that may or may not have bank accounts. And money is much easier to move with Bitcoin. And when you have a currency that's easier to move, the whole world's wealth increases. And so the middle class becomes richer, the poorer classes become richer, the richer classes become richer, everybody's better off. So when that auction happened, and I had an opportunity to buy a bunch of Bitcoin, all the people I knew who were bidding on those auction items were all trying to bid below market. And I thought, boy, if this thing's going to be big, it doesn't matter if I pay whatever it was, $615.
It was 18 million, right?
Or I bid a little above, and I bid $632. And I didn't realize it, but I got all the lots. I only really wanted one of the nine lots, but I got all of them. But when I realized I had gotten them all, I thought, oh, should I sell them? And then I thought, no, I am a total believer in this new economy. This is a global economy, a decentralized economy, a better economy, a better place to keep your money, a better place to use your money, invest your money, spend your money. You're better off with Bitcoin. So I hung on, and I'm a hodler from way back.
So you're a hodler. Oh boy. And
some other hodlers out there.
Yeah.
Actually, it's even more than that. We accept Bitcoin at Draper University. We accept Bitcoin for payment for advertising on Meet the Drapers. By the way, it's a big deal here in Brazil now. We now have 40 million viewers of Meet the Drapers. Can't believe it, but hey, it's a real show. It's really exciting. It was just a little startup about 10 years ago, but now it's a real show. And so we accept Bitcoin, so I end up just getting more and more and more, and I'm happy about it because I think it'll be worth more. And my goal is never to sell the Bitcoin, but to invest it and spend it, and look at it as real currency, just something that anyone can use and accept and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
So finally, we find out a whale here in front of us.
Hey, I'm not that fat. I did have to look down, though. It does cycle in and out a little bit.
So I think our time is up. Thank you, Tim. It was a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Claudio. Please. That was great. All right. Thanks for listening.